Here's another edition of BayCare Health Systems podcast series, BayCare Health Chat with Melanie Cole.
You know, if you suffer from joint pain, it can be debilitating and it can keep you from taking part in the activities that you enjoy. But when this type of pain begins to interfere with your daily life, then it might be time to see a physician to assess the issue. My guest today is Dr. Joseph Borelli. He's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at BayCare Health. Dr. Borelli, what types of conditions are we talking about here today? What types of conditions cause joints to be painful or to break down?
Well, thank you, Melanie. There's many reasons why our joints break down and become painful. Probably the number one reason is a wear and tear of our joints. So we choose to do certain activities that cause our joints to wear away. And if we're not careful, they can become quite arthritic and symptomatic.
Then let's talk about arthritis. People have heard the terms osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. There's many different kinds. Tell us a little bit about osteoarthritis and how it relates to aging and some of these joint pain.
Right. Osteoarthritis is by far the most common type of arthritis that we experience. In osteoarthritis, basically what happens is we wear the covering off the ends of our bones. It's almost like wearing the tread off the tires of your car. The more you use it, the more it wears away, and eventually it's completely gone. That cartilage is responsible for allowing our joints to move smoothly and to cushion our joints to a certain extent as well.
So now tell us about the joints that we're talking about today. What joints are most commonly affected by osteoarthritis?
Yeah, by far the most common joint affected by osteoarthritis are our knees. In this country alone, over 750,000 total knee replacements are performed. Second to total hips, hip arthritis is a close second. About 500,000 total hips are replaced each year in this country. And then going on down the line, it involves the shoulders, the wrists, and the elbows.
Wow, so it's really a common issue. Are there certain risk factors? Is there a genetic component to osteoarthritis? And then tell us some of the symptoms that people would start to experience. I mean, everyone has pain and creaky joints from time to time, but are there certain red flags?
Well, certainly there are risk factors associated with the development of osteoarthritis as well as genetic components. From a genetic standpoint, there's probably in patients that you see, their mother, their father's had joint replacements, their grandparents have had joint replacements, there's probably a defect in the collagen production, which is the fabric of the cartilage that allows it to wear away more quickly. Risk factors always include injury to a joint, overuse of a joint. Heavy set patients are more likely to have osteoarthritis than those who are a bit fitter. Keeping your muscles strong around the joints, particularly around the knees, helps prevent and perhaps delay the development of osteoarthritis. Common symptoms usually begin with pain. Pain after a certain exercise or pain in the morning. Stiffness is an early sign as well as osteoarthritis. And then when this pain becomes more consistent and the stiffness becomes more consistent, you may see fluid in the joint, particularly if we're talking about the knee. So this arthritic cartilage will cause fluid production in and around the knee. You may even see some deformity, just like our tires, again, on our cars. They don't wear out uniformly. They may wear out a little uneven, and the legs will start bowing one way or another as we wear out a portion of the cartilage in our knees.
So once you've determined that someone has osteoarthritis or they're just coming to you with this chronic pain, what's the first line of defense that you would look to? Are you an ice man? Do you like heat? Is physical therapy NSAIDs? I mean, speak about some of these non-surgical approaches to that pain.
Yes, orthopedic surgeons and anybody who treats patients with osteoarthritis should be schooled and proficient in the conservative management. And as you mentioned, conservative management and where we have the best evidence that it actually makes a difference includes weight reduction if the patient's overweight, physical therapy to strengthen the muscles around the joints to provide some secondary support, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents like ibuprofen or naproxen helps tamp down some of the inflammation associated with arthritis and make you feel better. Ice is always a good thing, particularly for osteoarthritis, as opposed to heat. Heat may actually make you feel worse. If those conservative means fail to bring relief, the second stage, if you will, is a series of injections, whether it be with numbing medicines or actually lubricants, almost like pouring another quart of oil into your crankcase to help the joints feel better. Those probably work as an anti-inflammatory agent into the joint itself. But there are many different things we should exhaust before we consider any kind of surgical intervention.
So you mentioned a little bit about injections. I'd also like to ask you about bracing, because if someone's a golfer or a tennis player, they put a brace around their knee and try and, you know, just keep going on. Do you think that braces really help to support that joint? Do they make it atrophy a little bit? So speak about bracing and then touch on injections a little bit and what those are intended to do.
Sure. Well, bracing, patients favor bracing for sure, and the ones they get the most relief from, again, we're talking mostly about knees, are the knee sleeves, the neoprene knee sleeves, compression sleeves, and science has shown that they really do two things. They bring a little bit of increased warmth into the joint, which patients feel better. It probably doesn't make their arthritis better, but at least they feel a little better. And then it gives the brain some tactile feedback as to more information as to what position the joints are in and can help the patient avoid those positions that cause worsening of the arthritis or additional pain. Injections are usually twofold. Either what we start with initially are a combination of numbing medicines that may work in the first day or four or five. And then we usually add a steroid to that mixture as well. So it's sort of a cocktail. It's given in one injection that includes a numbing medicine. And then the steroid is designed to knock down the inflammation around the joint for sometimes up to 3 or 4 months, patients will get relief. The downside, of course, is that there's risks associated with any injection, and that could include bleeding or even infection into the joint. So you need to make sure that's done in a sterile fashion. The other group of injectables are the viscose supplementation, which is a fancy term for they're basically lubricants. They're very similar to the joint fluid we normally have in our joints. It's harvested from the combs of roosters, and it's designed to provide a little bit more lubrication of our arthritic surfaces, as well as an anti-inflammatory effect on the surrounding synovium of the joint.
When you've tried all of these things, viscose supplementation and bracing and ice and physical therapy and all of these things we've discussed, when does the discussion of surgery take place and what does that discussion look like?
That discussion should take place when the patients have exhausted all conservative means of treatment for their osteoarthritis and that they simply can't tolerate the stiffness, the pain, the deformity that they have. Total joint replacements are wonderful. They're getting better every day, but it's big surgery. You know, you basically have to remove the surfaces of the femur and the tibia, if we're talking about the knee, and then replace that with a combination of metal and polyethylene. That's the downside. The upside is these patients can expect 15, 20, 25 years of relatively pain-free movement and function if, of course, we avoid all the complications associated with joint replacement.
What a great segment, Dr. Borelli. You've explained everything and all of the steps that you take if you're suffering from joint pain. You've explained it all so well for us. Wrap it up. As an orthopedic surgeon, with your best advice, what you tell people every single day when they come to you with hip pain or knee pain or shoulder pain or any of those things, what you want them to know about keeping healthy joints, really your best advice?
Well, I think the best advice is to prevent the development of osteoarthritis in the first place. And certainly you can't do anything if you have a genetic predisposition, but if you are likely to develop osteoarthritis because of some of the things you choose to do, then you need to keep in mind that you're going to have a problem. So things like staying fit, not getting overweight, Don't participate in activities that damage or cause pain to your joints. If you do start experiencing some discomfort early on, change what you're doing. See a physiatrist, see an orthopedist to better understand the best way to keep your muscles strong, to prevent further damage. I would stay away from modalities that haven't been clinically supported or scientifically supported. There's plenty of snake oil out there. I would avoid those certain things. Certainly as we age, we should be looking for exercises where we don't pound on our joints. So as opposed to a treadmill or running on the surfaces, perhaps when you hit middle age, you should be concentrating more on closed chain exercises like Stairmasters, elliptical trainers, stationary bicycling, even aquatic therapy, all in an effort to stay fit, keep your muscles strong, but minimize the pounding on these arthritic joints.
Thank you so much, Dr. Borelli, for being on with us today and sharing your expertise with something that so many people suffer from. Thank you again for joining us. You're listening to BayCare Health Chat. For more information, please visit baycare.org. That's baycare.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.